Last week we finished off chapter 7 and we saw the breaking of the seals from chapter 6 of the deed, apparently, that controlled the earth, and it's losing its power because the Lord is now taking charge of the earth. And the next two chapters are doom and gloom, though I'm not preaching doom or gloom, but it is a fact. A lot of doom and a lot of gloom is on its way. And the reason I'm teaching you this part in Revelation is not to duck it, because it's truth, is that our hearts should be broken, that friends and family and neighbors are going to be left in the middle of this, and it's not right that we find eternal life and get forgiven of our sins, and we don't share that with other people. So there's a purpose for all of our lives, and there's a spiritual DNA that is in you, that God has something very special for you to accomplish before your time is up. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you with this word. As we read it, you promised in chapter 1, there would be a blessing for those that read it, and I gladly will take it. And as they read with me, may that blessing pour upon them. And then you said there's a blessing for those that hear it. And so it's a double outpouring tonight. We're asking that we could get very close to you. I just thank you for these sweet people. They've changed my life in the last couple of months. And they just remind me from where I came from. And as I go across the country, I really need their prayers. And I just thank you for us and our hearts joining together on Wednesday nights. In Jesus' name, amen. I just finished a booklet called Targeted Prayer. And it's being followed up with a booklet called Boosted Prayer. Targeted prayer is like an arrow in your slingshot here in your bow. And if you put yourself in the center, in the bullseye with God, you pray for yourself and get your heart right. Then move out to the next circle, and then that is your family, then your friends, and then your city, then your county, then your state, and then the United States. And my life has been that, stretching all the way around the world. Several times I've gone around the world in front of millions of people. And it's dawned on me when I came up with this, that's what I do in my life. I'm always praying further and further and further. And the Lord will take you as far as you'll go. And if you're only praying for self all the time, that's about where you'll be stuck. Having experienced what many of you have and are experiencing in this room, I made it through it, and I lost my mind. I've told you that. I couldn't talk for 2 years. I could mumble. I couldn't even hold the sign, "Will work for food," and stand on a freeway. But when Jesus healed me of brain damage, I had no reason to be living other than to glorify his name. And the more you stretch yourself in the word and in prayer, the past is gone and you're a new creature in Christ. And it's fun being alive and not a drag, because all that's our flesh and it's gone. He's taking care of it. Follow along and we'll come back over this. And maybe I learned, sitting and listening to Chuck Smith for so many years, I'd just have my Bible open and I'd put down what the date was next to the chapter. And somebody walked up to me last Sunday night in Orange County and gave me a card. And I just read it today. And it said, in my Bible, it has your name at this chapter on this date 16 years ago. You were trying to warn us then. I said, wow, did the Lord say anything to you? Yeah. So I mark my Bibles. I have several Bibles. I mark them. I highlight them. I write dates. I write who's teaching. And you go back over that and you look and you see how much you've grown. After these things, remember in chapter 7, verse 1? After these things, the sequence of events. Can anybody say out loud that Greek word that I taught you? That's it. Meta tauta. Say that. Meta tauta. That means in a sequence of events. So when you see, it's a key to open Revelation. When you see, and after this, or later on, anything to do with the time span, it's meta tauta, and it's saying in sequence of events. So now we come to chapter 7, and we're still under that meta tauta. This is happening after chapter 7, which announced that now that the seals are broken and men's heart have cried out to the rocks and the mountains, kill us, instead of letting us have our sins forgiven and saying, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and He who sits on the throne, instead of saying, Jesus, the Lamb of God, forgive us. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen an angry lamb? They don't have any defense mechanisms at all. They roll over on their back in the summer. They can't kick themselves over. They're so weak sometimes because of all the wool on them. And the people look at Jesus instead of the tender Lamb of God who loves you and died for you. They see Him full of wrath. But what they see is their own judgment. Chapter 8, verse 1. When we had opened the seventh seal, so now we're at the end of the seals, and you'd think enough was enough, but now it's actually going to be getting worse. When we had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel, he came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar. And he cast it into the earth, and there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and look what happens after he blows his trumpet. There followed hail, three things, fire, mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now look at this. The third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Think of that around the globe, not just right here in Roma land. The second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. A great burning mountain. Remember, he's using first century language to say something that we might say, man, that's a huge meteorite that hit. What was that? It was cast into the sea, and look at this. One third part of the sea became blood. I think it's roughly 75% of the earth is water, it's oceans. And that would mean 25% of it's wiped out right here. And now the ecology is going to be totally kilter with no oxygen coming from the grass and the trees and now the ocean with all it does. Third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life, they died. A third of them. A third part of the ships were destroyed. And the angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. The name of the star is called Wormwood. Sound familiar? The third part of the waters, a third part, became Wormwood. Otherwise, it radiated into the waters and it just spread. The wormwood. Many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And for your notes, wormwood means bitterness. The name of the star is Wormwood. And the fourth angel, verse 12, sounded. And the third part of the sun, notice we're dealing in thirds. And this is only the beginning of these horrible things that are going to happen when everything goes out of kilter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. So the third part of the moon, and so the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part, and the night likewise. So everything's a kilter. It sounds like the Earth is now out of its 23-degree tilt on the axis. And scientists and physicists say today that we do have fact that we had a polar axis shift. The North Pole became the South became the North. And we're in what's called an Earth wobble. When God created the heavens and the earth, he put the earth on an axis at a tilt. And it was exactly 23 degrees. And at 23 degrees, as it goes around the sun, it gives us our four seasons. So God created that, but now they say we're in what's called an earth wobble. We're not in that perfect tilt. We're slipping. And an earth wobble is like taking a child's top and pumping it up, and the faster you pump it, makes a lot of noise, but as it starts to slow down, and the revolutions get slower, the sound gets slower, and then that top leans to its side, and it falls off and rolls around a little bit. And that's where we are. The handle stopped pumping, we're out of whack, and we're going to flip again. Now, two nights ago on television, they had a show, and it was on maybe the Geographic Channel, and they showed graphics of, they have come to understand that at the Antarctic, we used to have animals and grass and trees, and it was tropical. In 1970, Chevron Oil was working up in the North Pole area and Alaska and Canada, and they discovered, I forget, maybe 60 to 100 feet down further, and they found mastodons with the big long tusk, the big hairy furry elephants, with vegetation in their throat, undigested, which means, whoosh, and everything was frozen. So we're at a very precarious place in history. In Isaiah 47, Isaiah saw the end of the world, and he said that the, quote-unquote, the earth languishes under its inhabitants. And that's what this whole global warming thing is about. The earth, the planet, ecologically, is out of control because of us. At least that's what the politicians say. We're the ones to blame. Many of these things, they just make sense right now. They might not have 30 years ago, but more so today. So, and I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. Now think of their voices. We talked about this last week. The angel that rose up, and there was an angel in the four corners of the earth, and he spoke. And if we divided the earth 25,000 miles plus around, about 6,200 miles away from each one of those in each direction, and they could hear his voice. That's going to be interesting to have our new bodies. And might be why there probably won't be new babies born, because I couldn't imagine being a dad and say, quiet, if they could speak to 6,200 miles away. Imagine that crying and whining. An angel flying, and here's what he said with a loud voice, three times. And when the Bible repeats itself, it's serious. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, not because of what's happening that's bad, because or by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So out of these angels, and they were all given, the seven of them, seven trumpets, four have happened, and now they're saying what's coming from the last three is going to be more than you can imagine. So the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there was a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So that's going to give you an idea of what it's going to happen with these locusts from hell. It tells you right there. It was commanded, so they're under control. They're commanded. But do you remember the proverb that says about locusts? They have no king nor guide, but they all go the same direction and do the same work at the same time. Tens of thousands of acres are destroyed at a time in Africa by swarms of locusts. They just gobble anything that has vegetation on it. But here they have a leader that says, you shall not. The leader gives these creatures commandments. So he opens the bottomless pit, and I want you to underline bottomless pit. That's the second time in two verses. The air, the sun and the air, were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and was given unto them power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. Now look at this. But they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death will flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. My goodness. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tail, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So there's a limitation on them. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Can you say Abaddon? That's it. I call him a bad dude. But in the Greek, his tongue is Apollyon. Can you say his name? Apollyon. Okay, so there's two names, two languages, but the names from each language is pretty much the same, but there, you'll see in just a moment, there is something very unique about these evil demons. One woe is past, and that's only one out of three. Behold, there come two more woes. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound on the great river Euphrates. Now you know the Euphrates is over in the Middle East. We've had a lot of wars fought there. I've been there twice to the northern Iraq area, and the Euphrates was a very interesting place that was fought over. And a lot of people lost their lives at the dam. The four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour. Look at that. They were prepared for a special mission, just like you. They were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. And their assignment? To slay the third part of mankind. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 or 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having the breastplates of the fire, and of jacinths, and brimstone. The heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Imagine that. Somewhat looks to me, is he describing these animals with war armor on them, maybe? Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone? Or is he seeing the image of something he's trying to describe that could be even, an army tank coming across the desert? By these three, one-third of men are killed. Now, we just saw a third of men killed. One-third of men killed by fire, by smoke, and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads. With them they do hurt. The rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, now here we are again, back to the last sentences of chapter 6. They did not repent of their works, of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, and neither repented they of their murders, of their sorceries. And sorceries is a word that means witchcraft, drug usage, or distribution. Same word. Pharmakopa. Pharmakia in the Greek. So if you used drugs or sold it, you're under a curse. You want to get that out of your life, out of your mind, in the habit. To think that the government legalizes sorcery now, how patient can God be? We've killed 65 million Americans in the womb. We're legalizing and selling and taxing the government, getting the money from drugs. Why does he need America anymore? Doesn't make sense. It does make sense because he's very patient. God, the gold, the silver, the brass, and they won't repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor of their thefts. And fornication is a word, porneia. It's where we get the English word pornographic or porno. And it means sex between two people that are not married. And that's a great sin in God's eye. He created us for one other person. And 23 people died in one day when Moses was the leader. And they would not repent. And the earth opened up and swallowed them. So God's got a lot of judgment for our country because we have an industry of fornication. And it shows itself on television every day, every night, every afternoon, on and on and on. So there you have these 7, 8, and 9 of these judgments. So now, before we go home, let's just hit a couple of these things. The first verse in the 8th chapter is a very interesting verse. He had opened the 7th seal, and there was silence. Now think of this, total silence with all these angels singing and all the Christians have been taken up into heaven and they're worshiping, and then all silence for everywhere. Silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. In the theory of quantum physics, and I don't even know what that means, but I read about it, Einstein's theories of time and space, most quantum physics will teach that time fills space. And I find it interesting that there is silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Now, you and I say in Southern California jargon, we'll leave about 8:30. That's about the space of a half hour, right? We say that's a space. We're just talking words. But in quantum physics, it's space and time continuum. And it's three parts space, one part time. So it's interesting when the Bible says that one day is equal to 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is equal to one day. He must be saying something most of us don't understand. If you're a quantum physicist, we'd all like to take an offering and send you to Hawaii. That's a brilliant mind. But is he saying that we can fill more in a half hour than we waste a whole week on? If we use our time wisely in the right space, not spaced out, but we're using it for his glory and we're seeking him and we're in his word, the things that you and I could accomplish that the average person couldn't, it's unlimited. So it's going to be exciting when we get to heaven and we get the new mind, new body. And I'd like to meet you all there. I'll be in the very last row over in the right-hand corner. Right? I have a little sign over there saying, over here, I want to see you. So that's the first thing that caught my attention. And then some of you already know this, but I remember as a young pastor, I got a little shook one day. A guy read that and he says, what does this mean? Did you know there are no women in heaven? And I said, what? What are you talking about? And he said, there's silence for a half hour. There's no women in heaven. I said, no, I don't think so. I'm not sure. I don't know where he got that, but I don't think that's true. Then he saw the seven angels which stood before God. Now notice again how accurate God is. He's numbering all the people, 144,000, a group that no man could number, huge number, yet he just mentioned 200 million soldiers marching. China has an army as of 10 years ago of 200 million. So this could be the kings of the east, could be Pakistan, Turkey, Syria, Russia, could all come in together, but nowhere. Nowhere is the United States of America. These things break my heart for people because most people don't understand. And yesterday, I was on a broadcast, and this man in charge of the company, broadcasting, he said, I want to remind you of something in the entertainment world and on television. I said, what do you want to remind me? He says, first of all, the average mindset, you have to speak to a six-year-old. What? That's why you see animation and you see people overdoing it, and the religious people on television always seem like they're really out there or something. He said, because they do their research. Second thing is short attention span and lack of understanding. And the average person, if they see a movie on TV that they like, the next day they can't even really remember the correct name of that movie. So our minds have been so programmed to be confused. And do you ever have, do any of you have a smartphone of any kind? Anybody here? I know they're rare, but. And do you all have a smart pad too, maybe? And does it ever come up and say, your time is down 7% this week? You ever get those little notices? And I look at that and say, who's been using my phone? Who's been using my iPad? We have to use Apple because we're Macintoshes. And you look and you think how much time we spend. See, we've been programmed to watch junk and to look at junk and to accept no intellectual challenge whatsoever. And all of you in this room could run Harvard. If we all got together and prayed and sought the Lord, we could clean the place out. And you would find your place, and one of you would be the dean, another would be in charge of quantum physics, another one would be in charge of cartoons or whatever you want to do. But we would do it for the glory of God. And when people get together and do things for the glory of God, God's glory shows up. And he magnifies himself in his people that love him that he loves. And we're holding him back. He's not holding us back. So I want you just to see these things and have a broken heart for the people that are going to go through it. It might be your brother. It might be your sister. It might be somebody you love. In verses 2 through 5, I would like to say this. Seven more angels show up. They're given seven trumpets. There's an angel that comes up and he's got an old, golden end. Everybody has a job. And then he'll offer his prayers with the saints' prayers in the music, and here's the body of Christ up there worshiping, and the smoke of their incense fills the place and it smells beautiful. And then he casts the fire from the altar to the earth, and you hear voices, thunderings, lightnings. And I specifically was thinking of you when I see your faces here as a group. This is for you. And those of you in the Midwest and other radio stations, this could be for you, but I know it's for them. I think your mind can be healed and inspired and be healed and always learn and you'll be healed and mature with wisdom and be healed by regularly reading your Bible. I'm Dr. McIntosh, and that's my prescription that you can all cash in heaven. So I say for all of us, goodbye fear, goodbye feeling dumb or inferior, goodbye nightmares and bad dreams, guilt and anxiety and frustration, and goodbye flashbacks. Any of you that have struggled with that, say goodbye to it. Any drug damage, alcohol damage to your brain cells or your body might have destroyed your family. It doesn't need to destroy another thing. It's been taken care of at the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know you're not going to be the same person a month from now, let alone a year from now, if you'll just keep walking with the Lord. So I would like to go back to the silence in heaven. Take every opportunity with the silence and sit quietly before the Lord and listen. And when you listen, He gets time to speak. And when He speaks, your hands automatically go up and your voice automatically praises. And your heart is just overflowing with love because your Father loves you and He's speaking with you. Take that silence and use it every day for prayer in Bible and soak in the healing. Take it in the morning. Take it in the afternoon. Take it on your breaks. Take it in the evening when your head hits the pillow and the lights go out. And listen. And tell Him you love Him. Your life will never be the same. Notice in verse 6 we get more angels. They each played musical instruments. And I wanted to point this out to you, because many of you play instruments, and I play a couple instruments. I play the radio pretty well. I want you to take notice of this, because this is part of you growing. Seven angels, which had seven trumpets, prepared themselves. Don't waste time. Use your time to prepare yourself, to not just better yourself, but to better people. I've told you, I'm a high school dropout my senior year. My girlfriend got pregnant. I had a baby daughter. She's one of my best friends, and my wife has taken her as if it's her daughter, and her four daughters are my best friends, and their six children are my best great-grandsons and daughters. God can heal everything and anything. And I knew that I was smarter than I thought I was. But I went back to school when I was 50 years old, and I got 3 earned masters and an earned doctorate and 2 honorary doctorates and a year of law school with a degree in law and jurisprudence. And there isn't anything you can't do when you lay it before the Lord. I'm telling you, don't put yourself down anymore. You don't have to do it. Let Him do it in you and through you. By Him, not by self. Does that make sense? You just have to discipline yourself. I drove 7 years every week, never missed a class, got straight A's except for one class, and that was in Greek. And I told the professor, it's all Greek to me, and he said, it'll be a B. Okay, thank you. Just do it. But that's why you're raising 5 or 6 children at home, and you've got a church with 3,000 people on Sunday morning and 5,000 during the week, and you've got a high school and a junior high and all those things. There's no way one person could do it, let alone a person like me. And if I can do that in His hand, this group here could take over the country and organize it. I'm serious. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a handful with a heart. So I want to encourage you. Something good's coming your way. So they prepared themselves. One of the instruments I played, I haven't played it for years, but for several years I played it, was the trumpet, what they have. And to prepare yourself, you have to prepare your lip. It's sort of like preparing a muscle for whatever sport you're in. So I was football, wrestling, and track. So I had to have my calves strong, my thighs strong. I ran the hurdles, so I had to have my legs really stretched out. In wrestling, my wrists, my forearm, and my biceps. And then everything came from that. And in front of the rest of the wrestling team, every week, we had to get down and have solid abs and take that rope and go 30-some feet in the ceiling in front of all the coaches, touch the ceiling without bending your legs and come all the way back down again. And you have to prepare yourself for that wrestling match. And football, the same thing. You've got to get in there and start getting hit and getting hit back. So don't just sit around and say, well, I'm just not feeling like I want to do anything today. What a waste of life. You're much better than that. Well, I'm going to go smoke a joint. How stupid. You're going to change reality. reality is what it's all about. Being alive and enjoying life and rejoicing in it. And seeing people that are further down than us that we can go and lift up. And that's what Boosted Prayer booklet is about that I'll send to you when you get into it. Boosting our friends in prayer. So I want to leave you those thoughts. Prepare yourselves. And also, you got your lips strong like a muscle so you could blow. You also had to get your breathing, and you had to watch your cheeks. Some guys blow, and my hero was two heroes, Satchmo. And Satchmo was from Louisiana kind of music, and he would puff his cheeks out till they were about this big. And he'd just blow, and his eyeballs would bulge out, and that wasn't good trumpet teaching, but he could play the trumpet. Then the opposite of that was Harry James, a famous movie actor and married a famous woman and led a famous orchestra. And he was always in a suit and white shirt and tie. And he always, whatever he wanted to do. But you have to prepare for what you're going to do with that instrument by preparing yourself. And it's so important for you to prepare yourself to die to itself, to pick up the cross of Jesus every day, and follow after him. Don't try to lead him. Don't try to direct the show. Let him lead you. And then all of a sudden, you'll be all by yourself out in the parking lot or somewhere, and you see a bunch of cigarette butts or something, and you look around, somebody should pick those up. And the day it'll dawn on you, the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. And you'll bend over and you'll pick up those cigarettes. You'll never have felt so good in your life. And you'll walk over the garbage and throw them away, and you quit looking for other people to do what needs to be done, and you do it. And you'll realize, I'm a servant. I didn't want to be a servant. I wanted everybody to serve me. And David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents with the wicked. Now, the wicked might have a lot of money, a lot of cool stuff in their house, nice house, fancy car, but they're wicked. They're going to lose not only all that, they're going to lose their souls. So to be a servant is the greatest in the kingdom. And when I think of these people, I want to serve them. When I see what's coming to our country, I want to serve them. So take this example here and serve and prepare. So they blow the trumpets and they see these horrible things coming out. And I want to say, stand up for righteousness or you'll fall for everything. Start standing for righteousness. You see unrighteousness in a parking lot? Go over and stand there and say, leave these two elderly people alone, buddy. Stand up for righteousness. The fifth angel sounds in chapter 9, and this huge star falls out. And this language is used as a person. We use this word in the Bible, star, could be either an angel or a star. This is an angel because notice the word him. It says, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. I want to talk about this for a moment and we'll go home. The bottomless pit is a very real place. There's people down there today. It's horrible. It's bottomless, meaning there's no solid footing. So when you leave your body, and if you go down instead of up, you will be put in a cell. And there's a psalm that says, hell enlarges herself. Otherwise, so many people are going, they need more room down there. And people say, well, I'll be with my friends when I go to hell. No, you won't. When the judgment's over, you'll go to outer darkness. You can't see your hand in front of yourself. You can't see a person. You can hear people because the person, the soul, is eternally alive. But you'll hear them wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. And where you hear all three of those at the same time in the same location is called a mental hospital or institution for the insane. Weeping, wailing, grinding the teeth. No peace, because think of this. For the rest of existence, all eternity, they will remember they stood at the judgment seat of God. and saw His beauty and His love and everything they hated and rejected. He would not be a loving God if He forced that person to go to heaven. They choose to be away from Him because heaven would be hell to them. Just get it straight who you are and where you're headed. And make sure you're headed to the cross of Jesus and to ask forgiveness for your sins, and God will give you that. The locusts are wicked. They come out of there. They're coming out of hell. They have a tail like a snake. I'd like to leave that thought with you. But it has a head on it. Could you imagine that? Now, we live on a canyon, and once in a while we get a rattlesnake. The heads are always outstanding on a rattlesnake. It's like a diamond in a way, or a triangle. And the bigger and the older they are, the thicker they are, the longer they are. But no matter how big they are, all snakes, they taper in the tail, right? Now, if it's a rattlesnake, they have these rattles on the back. And it sounds like... I wondered what I was hearing one day walking my dogs, and I thought, aha, I've always wanted to hear that sound. That's what it is. Don't go there, dogs. Stop right here. But imagine now that rattle's gone, or even on a garden snake. It's very tapered. But on these demonic creatures, there's a head. And so from their mouth, they're hurting. From the tail, they're hurting. And they cannot take a life of somebody. They can torment them. And for 5 months, men will try to die and death will flee from them. Now, recently I responded to a police action, and unfortunately this man shot himself and left behind a beautiful family. I was part of the scene and the notification to the family. And at the morgue, I was talking to the doctor that was there, and he said, you know, he shot himself twice. I said, what? And I was thinking of this. That poor guy went into that wooded area, pulls out his gun and shoots himself, but it didn't kill him. And when you think of where he shot himself, it should have killed him, but it didn't. But the agony of laying there and realizing what you've just done and you wish you hadn't done it. And I think maybe God showed some mercy there. But then he had the strength to pull the trigger the second time. We've been taught our whole lives that you and I flee death. We don't want to talk about it. We don't like going to family funerals. Death is real. Cemeteries are there. We don't want to talk about buying our plot, getting our tombstone or whatever. It says, flee from death. Get away from death. But isn't it interesting? The Bible says, death flees from man. 5 months, they'll be laying there going, the pain. And death just walks on by and says, no, I can't get you. So it's God's grace, unmerited favor, that you're alive tonight. And I'm alive tonight. By the time I was 22, I should have died 5 to 10 times. Be grateful you're alive and live to the utmost capability of your abilities and give God the glory. He loves you. He'll do whatever it takes to get you where He designed you to be. Just let Him take charge. Shall we stand and shall we pray? So, Father, would You just move upon us right now with Your Spirit? And for those, if the elders could come forward to pray right now, for those of you that will just stop running, stop playing your game, and surrender your soul. Tonight's your night, and we want you to just surrender. If you're struggling with something going on, we'll pray with you for that. If there's somebody you love that you worry about, we'll pray for them too. But just know that you are loved when you come into this room. But above all, you're also loved when you leave this room. And wherever you are, God's love is right there with you. Don't be proud and arrogant and think you don't need God in your life. We desperately need Him. And He desperately wants to love us. But He's a gentleman, and He will not push Himself upon us. So if you'd like to come forward, you'd like to be prayed for whatever the situation, these men are here for you this evening. Let us worship with Gutierrez, brothers, as we're thankful before the throne of God. Let our hearts just soar to Him.